think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Happy Sensational Saturday. Happy Celebration Saturday. I hope you're taking a few minutes today to celebrate who you are, what you bring to the table, to be in the joy of your life. We're going to be talking today about attracting the money, money, money. We're going to talk about how to attract the money, how to bring it into you. Not chase, not hunt, right? Not find, not borrow, not beg, right? How to attract it and claim it and call it into your life. So I want to start a little bit about to say this. Money is about a mindset more than it is about anything else. People think it's about action. I mean, listen, I'm not going to poo-poo action. The right place at the right time, knowing the right people, right? Having the right opportunities presented before you. But all of that has to do with your mindset. Because what occurs as an opportunity for someone with means does not occur as an opportunity for someone without means. So if someone says, hey, would you like to go on a vacation with, you know, and share a mansion with me, and it'll only cost you $1,000, but there will be 10 other millionaires in there. If you don't have $1,000, it's not an opportunity for you. It feels like a crisis, right? So, and that's a mindset. Whereas somebody else that has $1,000, that knows how to get $1,000, that can make $1,000, that knows $1,000 is nothing. It could be 1 cent, 10 cent, a dollar, $10, $100, $1,000, $10,000. They don't care the number. But the way their mind works is I can always get money. So when someone offers them something and there's a dollar sign attached to it, they don't get into panic or crisis or feel any kind of way about it. There's no emotional attachment to it. There's no definition around who you are and whether you can get it and the fact that you should have it and you don't have it at this age and you don't want to take it out of this account. There's none of that. There's not those tentacles around the opportunity because you know you can get it. And that's just one example. And I'm not saying that people with money don't think about how to use their money. They absolutely do. I'm saying they're not hooked to it in a way that people who have less money. Money is a continuum. How you think about money has to do with your relationship to it is what I'm pointing to. So people in relationship with money, like money is attainable, money is easy to make, I can make money anytime I want to. Money is a mind game. People that relate to money in that way don't panic when a bill comes. They're not upset that somebody's asking them for money. In fact, they're like, that's the way the world works. Got it. I'll find it. I'll get it. I'm not worried about it. But people that have a relationship with money that is lack, in deficit, they're struggling, they're worried. Every time something comes to them with a dollar sign, they just tighten up. They mentally and emotionally start to shut down because the relationship that they have with money is toxic. It's one of lack. They don't feel supported. They don't trust money. Money has never been there for them. They're always chasing, hunting, begging, trying to get money instead of I have it, I got it, I know it. And if I don't have enough, I can make enough. I'm not worried about it. That's a mindset. That has nothing to do with anything else. That's a mindset. There are people that make the same amount of money, but their approach to managing that money, to multiplying that money, to attracting that money is completely different. One is coming from stress and lack and might be at the end of the day hoarding their money. One is coming from abundance and might be investing their money and multiplying their money. It's just a different mindset. Even though baseline, they make the same amount, maybe they have the same job, they might have even grown up in the same household, but it's a mindset. Money is about psychology and sociology more than it is about dollars and cents. Dollars and cents are just zeros on a page. It's addition and subtraction, but it's not addition and subtraction at the end of the day. A good example of that, and I'm going to try to give you guys a lot of examples to get into it because I really want you to think of your perspective around money. Your ability to attract money is directly related to how you think and feel and are in relationship with the money. Not about nothing else. There are people, and I'll give you a perfect example of this. My daughter went to a school of the arts, and I'll never forget. I remember in the audition process, the teachers said to us, we have kids here that are very, very talented, but they're typically not the most successful. And I said, well, that's an interesting thing, you know, to come to a school in arts and you've got all this talent. And he goes, because they don't work hard. They don't want it. They're not hungry. They either enjoy their talents such that they just give it away for free, or they think their talents should pull things to them and they're not willing to engage and do the other work that's associated with doing it. And so they don't really go anywhere. The people that get out there and that are hungry, that want it, that put themselves in, you know, in front of places to audition, that give of their gifts and talents, that put themselves out there, that actually market themselves, those are the students that actually really, really do better, which was an interesting thing, right? Because what we tell ourselves in the same vein about money is, well, I wasn't born on the right side of the tracks. I didn't come from a wealthy family. I never went to college. I'm married to a spender. I'm married to all kinds of people. That's what we tell ourselves. None of that has anything to do with why you don't have money. You don't have money because of your frame of reference, your mindset, your relationship to the money. In the same way, those kids didn't get to use their talents or be known for their talents because of their relationship to their talent. Either they thought they had to do nothing with their talent, or they gave away their talent because that's what they wanted to do with their talent. Like, they weren't interested in making money with their talent. So it's the perspective. Hi there, Michael, I saw you joined. It's the perspective of it's your perspective around it. That's ultimately what it is. So I want you to just take a few minutes and think about your relationship with money. Think about how you feel about money. Think about what you think about money. Think about your emotional state when it comes to money, because money isn't about dollars and cents. Another good example of this, and I'm going to give you some questions to think about after this, the recession. Everybody's talking about the recession. Recession, 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 recession. We're going into a recession. Then some people were like, well, I'm not so sure we're going into a recession. Then people were like, no, we're definitely headed for the recession. The housing market is the mortgage rates are going up and this, that, and the third. Like, there's all these like quote signs, right? On the flip side, we have one of the lowest unemployment rates since the 60s or 50s, something like that. There are 1.9 jobs per person. So it's a buyer's market right now. Yet we're heading into a recession, and recessions are typically one of the economic markers is high unemployment, bad job market. We're not in that yet. People are still talking about this recession. Are we going into a recession because that's what we think? Or are we going into a recession because those are actual facts, right? Inflation is through the frickin' roof. It's through the frickin' roof, which is another, you know, sign of inflation. And then you've got more entrepreneurs showing up, more millionaires in the small business arena than you've ever had before. So there are people that, in spite of what is being said, in spite of the markers, the story that the country is telling you, they're telling themselves a different story and they have completely different results. Why? Because it's what they believe about their ability to make money, keep money, multiply money, and rinse and repeat, right? That's what I'm talking about. So ask yourself, what do you think about money? Do you trust money? If you went to your bank account or your savings account, do you trust, how many of you have gone? I love this example. How many of you have gone? Because I've been there. I'm not poo-pooing anybody's experience. I can talk about this because I've had this experience where you swipe that card and you cross your fingers. I've been there because I was a single mom. I know you cross, even a young girl, college, you hope that card goes through. Do you trust money to be there for you? I didn't know. I was like, I think I got $20, $10, whatever in that account. Do you trust it, right? Do you feel there's reciprocity? I invested money, I saved money, and that money is actually there for me, right? Good things happen to me. I make more money. Do you feel I give good service? I receive a fair wage for my work. I serve at my church or synagogue or temple or place of worship, and I'm blessed for that. I have food, clothing, shelter, and lots of surplus. I live in the overflow. Do you feel there's reciprocity in your relationship with money? Do you abuse money? You overspend, you overpromise, you underdeliver with money. Do you hoard money, right? Do you never have enough? It doesn't matter if you get a windfall tomorrow in 3 days, you will not have that money. Like, you abuse it, like it's gone. And moreover, you don't even know where it went. Like, you don't know where it went. Like, think about this in terms of relationship. And I'm going to tell you the truth. A lot of us, how we relate to money is how we relate to other people, to human beings, especially in intimate relationships, right? Is the relationship with money toxic, right? You always get in debt, you get out of debt. You get in debt, you get out of debt. That's like a person that's in an abusive relationship. The person is abusive to me. They apologize. I go back. They're abusive to me. I leave. They apologize. I go back. I'm in and out of debt. I'm in and out of bankruptcy. I don't keep steady employment. I don't have a steady cash flow. This toxic relationship where you're in this cycle where you always two steps forward, three steps back, right? Is it toxic? So I want you to think about that, because if that's the relationship you have with money, it's going to be hard to attract money from that place. You don't trust it. It's never there for you. You're going to get it and spend it before somebody takes it from you, right? You don't feel like you have enough. So you always want to use it. It's like super quick. You don't want to save it. If you save it, then some expense comes in and you always like deplete your account and then you end up in debt. It's this like rinse and repeat cycle. That has nothing to do per se with your ability to earn. And I'm giving you examples of people who have college degrees, make over six figures or multiple six figures. This psychology is not unique to people who are below the poverty line. This is middle class. The middle class thinks this way. Our middle class is in so much debt. There's keeping up with the Joneses. That's a level of toxicity. There's measuring who you are versus everybody else on social media and their jet planes or their proposed jet planes, right? And their vacation trips and where they're going and why you don't have that. It's a toxic, abusive relationship. You're constantly berating yourself, being down on yourself and believing less about your abilities to attract and generate wealth in your life instead of appreciating where you are. And you can't get there from there. If that's the emotional state you feel, it's going to be really hard for you to generate income from a healthy place and hold on to it, maintain it. I'll tell you what, it's the same reason, like people always tell you, if you're an alcoholic, don't date other alcoholics. Or if you are depressed, this is not the time to make decisions. You have to get yourself to a standard of health, to a healthier relationship mindset with money before you start going out there and making money moves. Why? Because if you don't, you're still in that cycle of toxicity. You're still in that cycle of abuse. You're still in that cycle of mistrust. You're still in that lack mentality, that slave mentality around money. And what happens is all your efforts return exactly the way they've always returned because that's what you believed. You've got to get out of that cycle. Money is about psychology, sociology, more than it is about dollars and cents. It's about how you were brought up. It's about your experiences with money. It's about your faith with money, your belief in money, your belief systems around money. So backdrop for myself. I got two different parents, and they had very different philosophies. They had very different, like, sort of memes they would repeat around money, but the philosophy was just the same, right? So I was the first from my parents' family, the first kid to graduate from college, like get a four-year degree. So just kind of put that in your mind. So the backdrop around money from my mom, the constant thing I used to hear her say, I don't even know, she watches these things too, so she might agree, is we can't afford that. And she was pragmatic. She was a single mom. We can't afford that. I don't have money for that. That was like the constant chatter. So even if she had money for it, but was holding it for something else, or maybe she did it later, she was very practical with money. She managed her money very well. But her constant mantra to me as a kid, all I can remember is we can never afford anything. We couldn't get stuff, right? My father's mantra, he was what I would say, champagne taste, but beer wallet. So, but his mantra was, excuse me, that wasn't his mantra. His mantra was, you'll never be poor, but you'll always be broke. All right. So I want to just put the frame around, these are the memes that I grew up with about money. They are lack they're just lack. There's nothing in that for me to grab onto and go, I'm going to be rich. It's going to be a great thing. And I tried to, for a long time, like really have faith in that. But I thought, and the other thing is just to put more, to put not too fine a point on it, the family members and the circle, like everybody, even today, and I constantly correct my daughter and stand for this among my peers. Everybody always just got, girl, I'm broke. People just keep saying it. I'm broke. I'm broke. I'm broke. Broke, broke, broke. Cancel clear. I'm not broke. And I would say, when you just say that, it just is such a profound statement. Like broke, brokenhearted, broken in spirit, broken dollars, broke, 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 broken down. Broke is broke. It's broken. It's non-functional, not working. It's probably the worst thing. Worst thing. And I think it comes out in particular in the African American community because we were broken. And I think it comes out of that, like, even if we never talked about it, like the psychology of that is we were broken, broken in, broken down, broke without money, like broken, like that's where it comes from. But we are not. Stop saying I'm broke. If I could change one thing on this planet, it would be to get people to stop saying I'm broke. You are not broke. You have a cash flow challenge. You have less money than you would like. The thing that you want to buy is not in your spending plan. That is a complete reframe. That is very different than I'm broke. Broken is almost like it's just broke. Like throw it, there's nothing to do. You hands up, I'm broke. It's not my spending plan means there's a possibility that it could be because you could put it in. Cash flow challenge means it's a challenge, but it's not insurmountable. You can do something about it. It's little things like this when you constantly have this on repeat, constantly, constantly. This erodes your thinking and your ability to attract money. It erodes your thinking around money. It erodes your wealth consciousness. It erodes your ability to harmonize, to attract, to pull in opportunity because you think that you're broke. You think even if you get an opportunity, I'm too broke to take advantage of it. So even if there was an opportunity in front of you, you wouldn't see it as such. You would just be like, oh, girl, I'm broke. I can't do that. And you would walk away from it, not exploring, not seeing how it's possible, not taking a look at your finances to really see, not even actually looking at the opportunity to see if it's something that you could do, that you even want to do, that actually would support and serve you. You immediately, if the price tag isn't the right thing, if it's over a certain amount or not less than a certain amount, girl, I'm broke, I can't even do it. Again, that's a mindset. That's not reality. And I know you're thinking, well, but I don't have the money in the bank. Yeah, I'm not saying that. People find ways to make money all the time, all the time. There are people that work 2 and 3 jobs. There are people that have side hustles. There are people that day trade. There are people that Uber. There are people that when you want it bad enough, you find a way to get it because you're not broke. You're not broke. No one is broke. You're not broke. All right. So psychology of money, your relationship is relative. So people, I love financial planners. I think they do a great job. And I've had some on and I talked to them. And I think if you need support, get it. Financial planners do a couple of really good things that I love. They give you a framework to work within and they educate you. Good ones. Everybody's not a good one. They give you a framework, they educate you, and they help steer your ship, right? If you get a good one, you're in partnership. They're supporting you, but you're steering the ship. A good one lets you steer your own compass, right? Right. But money is relative. Somebody else might want to retire at 40. That's going to be a very different plan than somebody that's trying to retire at 65, than somebody that wants to work till they're 80 because they own their own business and love what they do. Though those three people have very different mindsets around retirement. And they have very different mindsets around money. So money is relative. It's not a one size fits all. There are some financial principles that you can apply. The biggest one is the power of compound interest. That's multiplying your money over time. That works for everybody universally. Now, how you multiply that money, there is a bazillion and one strategy. Some people tout real estate. Some people tout the stock market. Some people tout both. Some people say build a business. Some people work their whole life and sink money into their company's 401k and max out their match. There is a million ways to get there. That's not the point. My point is it's not a one size fits all because money is relative. It's personal. to you. It's personal to you. And how you get there, the plan you use to get there is personal to you. Not right, not wrong, but personal to you. Your background, your first tribe, your experiences, and how you have been in relationship with money over your life determines your relationship with money and your beliefs around money, which is unique to you. So the experiences you have, I don't have. You know, I was listening to Viola Davis talk to Oprah when she did her interview. And Oprah said, I thought I was poor. You a po. Like, you're telling me that you all used to hear the rats eating your dolls at night when she talked about that, that she didn't know about washing her clothes. It was an eye opening. Like, you think you don't have money. You think you're poor. You think you live in lack. Watch that video, that interview with Viola Davis with Oprah Winfrey. I'm telling you, it's like eye opening about the level of that. Or people who have been homeless. You hear stories of stars living out of their car, living out of their van, not having a place to live, like that they did the homeless thing for a little bit. Poor, like that's, but that's relative. So somebody with that experience isn't going to make decisions about money the same way that someone who grew up in the middle class, got a college degree, and is just struggling to make ends meet because they have spend issues. Like, it's going to be a completely different thing. Neither approach is right or wrong. It's just their perspective, because money is personal. The relationship you have with it is personal, right? That's why you got to do your own work. It's not dollars and cents. Like I told you, it's the economy. One story is told, there are different realities. COVID changed the whole economic reality. It changed it, right? And it won't be the same again, right? Inflation changes the economic reality. The job market changes the economic reality. All these put together to give a snapshot of the current economy, but it's not a one size fits all. And all those things make a difference to different people at different times, depending on how much money you have right now. So money is not just dollars and cents. It's really about your relationship, your beliefs around the money you have and your ability to make money. And if I could leave this planet with one thing, and the reason why that's so important is because if you know that money isn't dollars and cents, it's not your background, it's not your education, it's not your social status, it's not your where you were born or how you were born, if you have a trust fund or don't have a trust fund, it's none of that. It's your psychology, your relationship that you have with money. What does that tell you? It can be changed. You can evolve it. You can grow it. You can make it into something completely different, something powerful, something that serves you. Because if it's about genetics and biology and you don't get the biology, genetics, the DNA lottery, then we're screwed. But it's not about that. That is the great news. Money is not about biology, DNA. It's about your psychology, which means you are 100% empowered to change your money story today, right now. All right, so I'm going to give you a couple of quick tips, because y'all know the reason I come on here early on Saturdays is because it's my Saturday Zumba class, and I like to do that. All right, and so I do my little happy dance, because that's one of the things that I want to share with you around how to get into relationship with money. The first thing I want to tell you is you got to vibe with your own money. You got to rock with what you got. You got to be grateful and appreciate where you are, how far you've come, what you've done, and you got to forgive yourself for what you haven't done, what you didn't know, what you did wrong, what didn't go well. The past is in the past. Today, you can wipe your slate clean. Close the chapter on what happened and realize that going forward, there are a bunch of blank pages that you get to write on and change your money story, right? Vibe with where you are. Where I am, I'm grateful. I got this, I got this, I got this, I got this. I learned this, I learned this, I learned this, and this, and I got blank pages. That's rocking with what you got. You cannot spend your whole life beating yourself up over what happened. The fact that you didn't go to college, didn't take that job, didn't marry that guy or that girl who had money and your life would have been a whole lot better, but you didn't love them, didn't take advantage of the opportunity that was presented for you, didn't say, spent all your pension, spent all this. I can tell you, I worked a lot of jobs where for whatever reason, I got paid out when I left, like 401k or pensions back when they had pensions. And the plans were that they would like pay you in these lump sums. Well, in my 20s, I blew through all that money because that's what I with the story of we can't afford that and you'll never be poor, but you'll always be broke. I could afford some things, which I did. I took the money and I afforded some joys. And then I was back broke again because that was my story. That was that's what I thought you were supposed to do. Like, but I've forgiven myself. But I was young. I was stupid. I was dumb. I didn't know what I knew now. I make different choices now, right? So you can't get to your next level by beating yourself up about what happened in the past. It just is going to weigh you down. It's just going to make you feel sad. You got to let that go. That's the first thing. Like you can't, it's difficult to feel sad, frustrated, angry, and be in an attractive money-making mode. It's just different. It's just difficult. All right. I'm going to tell you something that every financial planner tells you. You know this. I talk about this in terms of self-care, in terms of wealth, in terms of health, in terms of everything. Pay yourself first. One of the things that makes us feel lacking or broke or not abundant is when you work a job and then you pay everybody else and then you got $5 left over for yourself. Reverse engineer your spending plan so that you have something that's reasonable for yourself every week, whatever that is. And if it is $5 or $10 until you move forward, that's fine, but treat yourself. When you work for something that is meaningful to you, you feel abundant. It changes the way you relate to money because now money is supporting you. It's actually giving you something you want instead of you working to pay everybody else. If you're working to pay everybody else, who wants to go to work? Who wants a promotion? Who wants an opportunity so you can just give that money to somebody else? Nobody does. The psychology around that is I can't stand working my butt off to just write checks to other people. What do I get out of it? And we sit in that the stew of that. And it's because you're not paying yourself first. So figure out what that looks like. There's 1,000 ways to do that. If you don't know, get a financial planner, whether it's paying yourself in your retirement, paying yourself in savings, giving yourself an allowance. I do all three. I pay myself first. And then from what's left over, I make sure I live within the means that I have so that I can pay everybody and still not feel squeezed to death. Part of that is we're doing things out of order because we never pay ourselves first. We pay everybody else. We start signing up for stuff, getting ourselves in debt and over our head just so we can have a few little luxuries. And those luxuries cost us and end up putting us further and further in debt and in the hole because we feel like I'm just tired of working so hard for everybody else but myself. Stop doing that. Pay yourself first. Pay yourself first. You will feel abundant. It changes how you relate to the money that you make because now you feel supported by that money. It's just it's a little shift. It's a little thing, but pay yourself first. All right. Enjoy your life where you are with the money that you have. So you got to feel joyful with what you got. You have to. And you get to. You don't have to. You don't have to do anything I'm saying. I'm just telling you from the benefit of my experience. Here's why. Because when you don't feel joyful with what you have, you constantly are focused on what you don't have. And there's more in life. Like if I thought about the totality of my past, like I've done a lot in my past, but there's a lot I want to do. And if I focus on all the things that I want to do in the world and on this planet and before I die, it's an overwhelming amount of things. It starts to make me feel like, oh, you know, I'll never be able to, because it's a lot. But if you focus on the things that bring you joy, that the ways in which you've lived your life that add value, you will feel happy, satisfied, and it will change the way in which you relate to, again, how you think about money. You'll feel supported. You won't feel like, oh, there's this long bucket list of things that I want to do that I'll never get to do because I don't have the money right now. Well, you don't know that. Your ability to make money changes. You're learning new things. You're gaining new skills. You might get to do many or all of the things that you want to do. You just haven't done them yet. But if you focus on that I haven't done them yet, I don't know how I'm going to do them. And you get stuck in that cycle of, I don't know how, it's not happening. It's not happening. It's demoralizing. If you focus on, Yeah, but I did go ziplining and I did go skydiving and have been on a cruise and have traveled out of the country multiple times. And I do take a vacation once a quarter and I do spend time with my family and I do this. And you're like, yeah, I live a kick-ass life, right? Completely different. Completely different. The energy of that is different. It's also a value system. So for example, you could, for me, and I'll share this for me, my car is old. I love my car, guys. I feel completely supported with my old car and AAA. Supported. I don't desire, I'm not a car person. I don't look at, I tend to keep my cars a really long time. I buy a car that I really love. I really do fall in love with it. And I really don't want to part with it. Most of the time when I've bought new cars is because they are in such a level of disrepair. They're too old to be repaired. And then I go ahead and get another car. That's my value system. There are people that get new cars every 4 years or 5 years. There are people that always get the next car. There are people that like luxury cars. There are people that only drive BMWs and Mercedes. I knew somebody, he only drove Mercedes. That was his car of choice. I know somebody else that only does BMWs. I know somebody else that keeps talking about a Tesla. There are it's your value system. But you will feel supported by money if you give yourself permission to put your money where your values are. I don't value cars. I value other things. I value investing in my daughter's education. I value investing in travel. I value investing in my education. Those are things that I value. That's where I put my money. If I had a fleet of cars, or a huge car payment or a brand new car every 4 years, I would resent it. Because I don't like cars. So then when you're paying for things now, and I'm not saying that if you need a new car because you need a new car, you got young children, hey, that's when I bought my newer cars. I think I did it more frequently when my kid was younger. Now I don't care. She's on her own. Not on her own, but she does her own thing. But here's my point. If you don't put your money where your values are, then where you're putting your money, you feel like you're robbing yourself. You're cheating yourself because you don't invest in the things that you actually value. All right. Number four. Drop the struggle and the worry. Desperation is unattractive. You cannot pull money into you by being desperate or worried. It's not a good look. I don't care what you're talking about. You're talking about dating. My best example is job interviews. I cannot tell, or dating. How many of you have sat across from somebody either in a job interview or on a date and the vibe is desperate? They're worried. They're anxious, right? You feel the struggle. They got like this low energy where they're not telling you the whole story because they're trying to hide the fact that they're in struggle. It's not attractive. You typically don't go out with that person again. You don't offer them the job because that worry, that anxiety reeks of desperation. Desperate is not attractive. Drop the worry and drop the struggle. Rinse and repeat. Number three, enjoy your life. Get into gratitude. Make list of the things that you appreciate. Make list of all the joys and wonders of your life. Stay in that. Most of us have had a really good, we've had really crappy lives. I'm not saying crappy things haven't happened to you, but we've also really lived and had a good life. All right, number five, educate and stay informed, right? But do what is best for you. You got to trust yourself. Educate yourself. Like I said, you can get a good financial planner. Read the stock market. Be educated about the recession, but trust yourself. If you're getting an intuitive hit to invest in your in education in a particular way or a particular stock, or you know or value a particular company, you got to trust yourself. Like I said, when I gave you those scenarios, money is personal. It's personal. I can't tell you what to invest in. I can tell you what to invest in based on what's performing well, but I can't tell you what to invest in based on your value system. And that's different. There are companies that do well that you may never want to put your money on. Why? Because you don't value that company, the way they treat their people, the way that they are with the media, the way in which they do business. Those are value systems. And there are companies out there that value those same values that you do that you might want to invest your money in. They may not be performing as well, but they're still performing well. This is why I'm saying it's very personal. Some people would invest in what's doing well no matter what, because that's their value. Other people are like, no, I'm putting my money where my values are. I'm putting my money in companies I believe in. Some people want to do all women owned, all Black owned, all Latinx owned. It doesn't matter. Put your money where your values are. Educate and stay informed. Absolutely. But trust yourself to do what is best for you. Number six, make a plan but don't be attached to the plan. The plan is the framework. Be committed to your goals, but you don't have to do everything lockstep, 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 lockstep. If the plan is to save, I don't know, $500 a month, and for some reason you were only able to save $450, do not kick yourself. If it was a one-time, one-off thing, that's fine. If you can make it up, that's fine. The plan is the framework. 1 month where you had $50 less because of an emergency isn't going to kill you. You still are committed to the goal. You're still committed to the savings. You still put the $450 in there. Don't beat yourself up there. Remember, have a plan. It's the framework, but execute without attachment. Money is personal. It changes. And as you gain more money and you gain in more influence and skill and education, you're going to make course corrections. You're going to bob, weave, duck, dive, and pivot. Trust yourself to do those things and do those well. And then the last thing I will say about money is number 7, visualize what you want and how you will feel when you actually have it. Most of the things, the choices we make around money aren't even about the money itself. It's about how we will feel when we get the thing. And usually it's disappointed because we have an expectation of one thing and then we get the thing and it's kind of like a real letdown. Why? Because as you're working to get the thing, your expectations are going up too, right? So visualize more around how you want to feel. If you had, I don't know, $1 million in the bank, what's the feeling around that? And then look a little bit deeper in, why do you believe that you need to have that feeling? Why do you want that feeling? What's the supportive of you about that feeling? Are there other ways you can create that feeling? Because for some of us, you may find you actually don't need $1 million. You just need a really good retirement plan. And if you went to a financial planner who mapped out everything, you'd actually feel fine. You'd feel rich. You'd feel abundant. You would have less anxiety, less worry. You'd be able to pull in whatever you wanted. Why? Because you just wanted to have the feeling of security. And you thought $1 million would give you that. It's not $1 million. It's knowing that you have a retirement plan. It's knowing you can leave a legacy for your kids. It's knowing that you have a working car or you have a car that you have with AAA. It's knowing those things. Those are the things that make you feel good and secure because you know that you are taken care of and provided for with the resources you have. Sometimes we want to get more resources because we think we're not taken care of with what we have, but we don't actually know. So do the work. Visualize what you want. Visualize how it will feel in having it. And then look at why do you feel good at having it? What is that? What do you believe that having that feeling, that thing will give you? What do you believe having that thing will give you the feeling of? And then do the work around that. It might be, for many of us, it's way less than you think. It's less than you think. That's how you pull money in, because your framework, your belief system around it is open, you're available, you trust yourself. You vibe with the money you got. You're not beating yourself up over mistakes. You're going to pay yourself first. So you're not going to feel like you're depleted and constantly robbing Peter to pay Paul, right? You're going to enjoy your life with the money you have by investing in things, putting your money in things that you value. So you're not spending money on a bunch of bills all the time. I'm not saying don't pay your bills, but whatever else you spend the money on, it's going to be things that you value. You're going to drop the struggle and worry. It reeks of desperation. Whatever you need to do that, you're going to figure out how to drop the struggle and worry. It might mean make a budget. It might mean look at your belief system. It might mean get some counseling. Some of us have some really ugly, deep-seated, horrific, poverty, lack, abusive stories that make us anxious and worried no matter how much money we make. And that's not about dollars and cents. That's about our experience. Remember, I said it's personal. It's about your sociology and your psychology and your experiences in your life. You're going to educate yourself. You're going to stay informed no matter how you do that. Pick maybe one article a day. Get connected with a financial planner. Read the Wall Street Journal. It doesn't matter. And then you're going to trust yourself and your instincts to make the right decision. You're going to make a plan, but you're not going to be attached to the plan. You're going to be committed to the result, but you're going to bob, weave, duck, dive, pivot, and do what you need to do to get the result. But you're not going to make the plan the end all be all in your God. Because as you educate yourself, as the market changes, as your priorities change in life, the plan may need to change and pivot and change. The goal might not, the commitment shouldn't, but the plan might need to change. And then you're going to really get in tune with yourself by visualizing what you really, really want, how it's going to feel to get it, and why that feeling is important to you. You're going to unearth that. When you're doing these things, you become like really attractive. Why? Because you understand your own psychology. You're not getting high on your own supply of BS around your money beliefs. You're not. You're open, you're available to learn. You're open, you're available to be shown something. You're aligning your money with your values. You're making sure that you feel abundant and not approaching life with a sense of lack, or you can't get there, or you're broken. You're going to stop saying the word broke. That is how you attract more money and opportunities to you. Because now when you get an opportunity, you're going to be like, okay, let me look at this. Is the opportunity aligned with my plan, my goals, right? You're not going to approach it from struggle, from lack, from I don't have that. You're not going to say I'm broke and be stuck in your money story. You're going to be informed. You're going to be educated. You're going to know if that's the right decision for yourself. And even if it's the right decision, but wrong timing, you're going to trust yourself that it's the wrong timing and it will come back around again when you're ready. You're going to trust yourself. This is how you make yourself more attractive and you pull money in, because you are not hoarding, repelling, scared, hiding, anxious, worried, denying, and telling everybody and their brother that you're broke. It repels money because it repels opportunities, because it repels people. Get in connection with yourself, your psychology, your sociology, your experiences, your beliefs around money. Do the work to excavate those beliefs, and then set yourself free so you can tell another money story, a better one, the up-level story. Remember, the chapter of the past is closed. You got a bunch of blank sheets that you can move, change your money story with. Take advantage of that today. All right. Let me know if this was informative to you. If you have questions about this, drop your questions in the comment section. If this was helpful for you, share it out to someone. I would really appreciate that. And I think that's it today. If you guys are interested in more money tips, I will be back next week. We're going to talk about keeping the money. Now that you know how to attract it, changing your vibe around it, how do we keep it? How do we hold on to it? We'll talk a little bit about that on next week's Coffee, Coaching, and Conversations. I will see you soon. Got to go get my Zumba on. Take care. Have a great day. Remember to celebrate yourself today. Pay yourself first with something today. Time, money, energy, love, support, self-care. Pay yourself first today. Enjoy your day. Happy Celebration Saturday.
I think to myself, what a wonderful world.